Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
We're back on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema here to give you our 2018 NFL Draft preseason wide receiver rankings. Sorry about the new episode on Friday. We were both just in over our heads with work. But we're back. We got five episodes lined up for you this week. We're going to continue to break down our positional rankings, where we see the class by position. Before the 2018 or 2017 season gets underway, in lieu of the 2018 NFL draft. Trevor, how are you, my man? Did you have a great weekend?
I did. No, it was great. Bucks played in Jacksonville last week, so I was up in Jacksonville all week, and that's kind of why I wasn't able to record on Friday. But it was good. It was a good time. Jacksonville is a cool city. Shout out to all the Jacksonville people. Blake Bortles is bad.
Yep.
Real bad.
100%.
And it was a good time.
I heard Jameis Winston looked very good though.
Yeah, no, the last two games, whenever they've played the starters, it's basically been like easy pickings for the offense. He's even had a couple of drives that have started from his own, like within his own 10, and he puts him on the goal line both times. So like these are like full 80, 90 yard drives. So Bucks offense clicking pretty good.
It's gonna be a scary unit, man. I wish I could say the same about the Steelers, but that's okay because Ben hasn't played and
Terry right, Brown hasn't Dobbs. Played. And Josh Bell. Dobbs is going to lead him.
Yeah, Josh Dobbs, he's doing his best out there, man. What can you say? All right, 2018 NFL Draft wide receiver preseason rankings. This, I struggled with this. Like, not because like I'm just not overwhelmed by the group so far. I don't see anybody that I see as a clear cut first round guy right now. I wasn't crazy about last year's wide receiver class either, but I love the two guys at the top more than I like anybody in this year's class for sure. Right now anyway. So I settled about 3 minutes before we hit the record button. I settled on a ranking. So then
you're going to start it out. We're doing five. We're starting at five, right?
Number five. I decided to go with James Washington. Antonio Callaway's not in my top five. A little sneak peek there, but not in my top five because, but talent wise, I agree with you. He's better. He's more talented than James Washington. I agree with that. You could even argue more talented than my number four, number three guys, and potentially even higher. But I mean, he's getting investigated right now, isn't he? I mean, it's just like
there's a lot. He's had a couple of selfish decisions that he has made over the last couple of years. So I get that.
But yeah, there's just a lot of baggage there for me to go out on a limb with him, and I don't even know what his status is going to be for the season. So I just decided to push him off the top five right now. But anyway, James Washington, I don't think he has any real great trait to hang your hat on. You know, first round for me, no way. I don't think I know some people have him in that conversation. For me, he's just not in that conversation. I don't think he has any superlative traits that you're like, okay, this guy, you know he's going to give you this. Like he's dominant in this area. He's kind of hit or miss in the air. He's not the biggest receiver. He's not the fastest receiver. Sometimes he'll make a great adjustment in the air and win a jump ball. Other times his lack of size and length show up. He's built kind of like a stocky running back, but he's not like an explosive route runner like somebody like Jarvis Landry might be. So there's like good all around skills there. I think like he's pretty solid in most areas, but to me, nothing consistently dominant about what he does on the field to project strongly to the NFL. And so, for that reason, I have him at the fifth spot. For some people, that maybe you're like, that's too high. For others, they're like, that's too low. You know, to me, Washington is kind of that, you know, probably not in the top 50, but somewhere in that 50 to 100 range right now as I see him as a prospect.
I like James Washington. He's not in my top five, but I do like him because I would agree that there's not, you know, when you watch his tape, there isn't like this crazy athletic trait or explosive agility or something, or even like you were saying, like hands like Landry had or blah, blah, blah. But I think that connection that he has with Mason Rudolph, where he throws the ball deep so often, and often it is to James Washington. I'm noticing this a little bit for the first time with DeSean Jackson in Tampa Bay, that there is something to be said if you are a natural at tracking the ball deep down the field. And I think Washington does that pretty well for a college prospect. And so I think that's – if we're talking a trait that he could hang his hat on, I think I like that a good amount, or at least he's shown me that he can do it more naturally than other guys can, which sometimes it's really tough to teach. But you're right, size – little bit of an issue, but yeah, so he's not on my top five. Who is on my top five and who is number five is Texas A&M's Christian Kirk. And a lot of people really like Christian Kirk. He'll definitely be higher on some people's lists. I've seen him as number two. Heck, I even saw him as number one on somebody. So this is a guy who a shorter wide receiver, but man, he is explosive. Whether he's on the outside in the slot, taking wide receiver reverses, even punt and kick returns, just a really dynamic player. And Texas A&M's offense over the last 2 years has been very spread out. And no matter what, Christian Kirk has produced. And now I'm the reason why he's number five for me is because this year there's no Josh Reynolds.
Right.
There's no Speedy Noyle. There's no Ricky Seals-Jones. Like, it is him.
Right.
Like, it is Christian Kirk. And so I'm interested to see how he does with defenses really keying on him. And him alone, because there were times last year where I was watching A&M where they definitely keyed on Christian Kirk. So it's not like this is going to be his first year of getting attention, because he's been doing great stuff since he was a true freshman.
Right.
But this year I'm looking to see what kind of a role he has, because I don't want to be afraid of this, but like the Tavon Austin kind of like gadgety player worries me a little bit with Christian Kirk, just because A&M's offense is so like weird and quirky. I just have that worry in the back of my head. So if I see just more, I guess really if it's just consistently with Kirk, if he still continues to win the way that he does, then I'm going to trust that in the NFL, an NFL team is going to use him better than the Rams are using him on Austin. So that could find a place.
Kirk didn't make it in my top five, but he may be in my top five by the end of the year, because I like some things I saw on tape, but it was just – I mean, game after game of watching him run hitches and bubble screens, and that was it. I mean, he's averaged 11.2 yards per reception last year, and I don't think it's his fault. I just need to see other traits on display, and I do think he's quick. I think he can improve as a route runner. I think he can use his quickness even better moving forward. I think he has a lot of potential to be a good player, and yeah, he's not the biggest guy, and I wonder what his speed is like, although I think he seems fast the like one or two vertical routes he gets per game. But I don't think that I don't know. I didn't see enough in his tape, you know, to 83 catches, 928 yards. You know, he didn't do enough after the catch. That's where one area where I thought I was a little bit disappointed was I expected him to be more impactful after the catch and more explosive and, you know, kind of elusive after the catch. And I didn't really see that as much with him, but I think there's potential there if they are a little more aggressive in their usage of him. But both of his years, yeah, he's 80 and 83 receptions over the past 2 years, but he just was barely over 1,000 yards, 1,009 yards in 2015 and 928 yards in 2016. And I thought that kind of showed up on tape. Like, he didn't create a lot for himself after the catch point, but then again, they're not putting him in always the most advantageous situations either. So I had mixed feelings about Kirk, but I think that there might be potential there for him to kind of shoot up my board. Deion Kane was a guy that I had as my number four guy. I like Deion Kane. I don't know whether I buy any first round hype on Deion Kane. I'm probably going to say that about just about all these guys. But to me, I thought, and now another, it'll be a key with Kane as well. Like you mentioned, how does he do without Mike Williams and Jordan Leggett and Artavis Scott and those guys around him in the passing game? But, you know, and Deshaun Watson. But I thought last year, talk about a guy that maximized his opportunities, I thought. He's a vertical threat. He has the speed to get deep. He also makes things happen after the catch. You know, 38 catches last year, but he averaged 19 yards a catch, and he had 9 touchdowns. The year before, 34 catches, 17 yards per catch, and 5 touchdowns. So he's consistently been impactful with his receptions, impactful when he does touch the football. And I think, elusive and kind of natural after the catch is probably the best way to say it. I don't know that he's like the most explosive athlete in the world, but he certainly has enough of that. I think that he's got to improve as a route runner. Sometimes there's still some drops. He does show the ability to make really tough catches, find the ball outside his frame, but I think consistency is the biggest thing with Kane. And how fast is he? How fast is he? I think that's the biggest thing. In college, there were some vertical opportunities for him, but is he truly a guy that's going to win on the outside with speed consistently, with that vertical push off the line of scrimmage? I think that's something to watch for this season. But I definitely like Kane. I think he can be a solid number two in the NFL.
So my number four guy is Calvin Ridley, and I'll preface it with two things. One, I don't care how old he is. Shut up. two.
Oh, okay. Oh, I love that.
Two. Calvin Ridley is listed as 6'1", 190 pounds. Mm-hmm. Okay. If he was like in between 6'2", 6'3", mm-hmm. and say like 210, like 205, 210, he'd be wide receiver one for me.
Okay.
But because he is smaller and because he has like a frail size, I'm going to say that he's wide receiver four. But I preface it like that because I love a lot of what Calvin Ridley does. And his true freshman tape is so awesome. I think that he has got great hands. I think he's a great route runner. He can catch through contact. He can run those bubble screens if you want him to. The thing about Ridley for me is Ridley can play the short game. He can play the long game, and he can play on the sideline, which that's a total package of wide receiver for me. And so if he was bigger, both like thick and height, like this dude would be wide receiver one for me because I have loved his game for a long time. But he's four at the moment. I mean, if he has another – because his sophomore year was a little bit down just because Jalen Hurts wasn't the best passer last year. Yeah. So – I mean, if we see a better passer from Hurts, who knows if that's actually going to happen. But if Ridley gets back to like his freshman year kind of numbers and then even eclipses them and we're seeing like just a step up from him again.
I see you snuck in the word eclipse in there. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not intentional, but sure.
No, it was.
Side note, hold on. Have you seen the clip of when Will Muschamp, I think – he scheduled a day off for his players at South Carolina, and one of the reporters asked him like how much did the eclipse go into the planning of this schedule, and Muschamp just looks at him and kind of like smirks a little bit, and he's like, is there an eclipse going on? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
And yeah, I didn't like, know until like 2 days ago, man. So
like the whole room just starts laughing, and he's like, what day is the eclipse? And they're like, oh, it's Monday. And Muschamp's like, is it going to be cool? I don't know. Like,
they asked Sean McVay about it, and McVay was like, to be honest, I don't know anything about anything that isn't related to football.
So
I was like, my dude.
Yeah, that was funny. But yeah, so I like Ridley a lot. I wish he was bigger. That's my only thing because he plays so well on the sidelines. I think he's got great feet, and I think he can win with the ball in the air. But in order to be that dominant, like a number one, like if his traits were in a body that was different, I think he'd be unstoppable. I like Ridley a lot. So, but he is my wide receiver four going into the season.
I'll have more about Ridley in a minute. Dante Pettis. I keep wanting to say Austin Pettis, which is his cousin that played for the Rams. Dante Pettis for Washington is my number three guy. I had no idea what to expect when I put on his tape. I really hadn't paid attention to him at all when watching John Ross. I knew he caught a buttload of touchdowns last season. He had 15 touchdowns last year. But I didn't know what to expect much outside of that. He only had 53 catches last year, but you know, again, made the most of his opportunities. I thought averaged 15.5 yards per catch. man, really good route runner, really nuanced attention to detail, double moves sold him well, vertical push off the line of scrimmage to break off sharply underneath, and if you don't open up, he can get over the top of you. I don't think he's a burner, but he did run a 4.39 40 at their spring combine workout and a 6.733 cone. So
he ran a 4.39?
Yeah, at their spring combine workouts. I was surprised by that. I don't think he looks that fast on tape. I'm betting he's not that fast. But even if he's a low 4.4 guy, you know, that's pretty good for Pettis. So I thought he was a great route runner. I thought his attention to detail was terrific. Against Oregon, he just chewed them up, man. Those corners, and I know you're going to say Pac-12 defense doesn't count, but their corners were absolutely tripping over their own feet after some of the moves that he put on them at the line of scrimmage. Just knows how to gain those slivers of separation and plays at top speed at all times. High effort guy, lays out for the ball. I was a huge fan of Dante Pettis. I may have had him as my wide receiver one, except that for the same reason you're talking about, really. He's 6 foot, probably a little under 6 foot, according to NFL draft scout. I think he's like 5'11 and 2/3, and maybe 190 pounds. At best. He came in, I think he was 175, 170 pounds. So he's bulked up, but I don't think there's room to add much more bulk. How he does against press coverage remains to be seen as an outside receiver. I think he can play in the slot and be pretty effective there, but is he like an elite level athlete? I haven't seen him do much after the catch. So some of the athletic and physical traits, I'm not sure if they're high-end enough for me to put him higher than third, but I think his game's really detailed. He reminded me of a little bit of like a combination of maybe Stephon Diggs and Willie Snead, something like that, wow, in his game. So I thought that he was a really good player. I think he's going to be a great day two pickup for somebody. Can play in the slot, can play outside a little bit. Yeah, like I said, detailed, and he already has kind of a lot of the development that you want to see in your receivers. So I like Dante Pettis a good bit. I think he can be a really good one this season.
My third guy is, in fact, Antonio Callaway, and you can throw all the bias you want in there with me being a Florida guy. But what I like about Callaway, and a lot of people have Callaway and Christian Kirk flipped. Actually, let me just say this first. So the off the field stuff, everybody was talking about it. Callaway's had his little troubles here in all 3 years that he has been at the University of Florida. That's not great, but I don't think any of it was serious enough to 10 months from now when he's getting drafted, somebody's going to like hold it against him. That's the thing, is like a lot of Florida fans when it happened. So what happened is Callaway got popped for like money fraud, cuz he was trying to steal stuff with other players, not like physical theft. What he was doing is he was, you know, taking money from like a card or a check, you know, forging it, say buying stuff, saying that it was stolen so we could get the money back and have the stuff and all that. So like that's what he was doing with it. But it's obviously still criminal activity. So a lot of Gators fans were saying to me, hey, like this is gonna, like, what an idiot. He's like, his stock is gonna get tanked for this. He's gonna lose millions of dollars. No, he's not. Cause okay, so he's gonna miss the Michigan game. And then he's going to come back and be Florida's entire offense for the rest of the season, like he has been for all 3 years. And when teams see that, you know, they'll interview him at the combine. They'll basically be like, "Hey, why are you such a selfish idiot 3 separate times?" And he'll be like, "Oh, you know, that was behind me. You know, I was a kid. I was just a college kid. I didn't really know anything." And then they're gonna pop on his tape, and they're gonna be like, "All right, that's good. That apology's good enough for me." So the thing with Callaway that makes him different than Kirk to me is that Callaway already has a ton of experience and shows that he's really good at stretching the field. Like, I think Christian Kirk is fast and explosive, mm-hmm. but you're right. A lot of what he does are those short yardage things where he's supposed to get yards after the catch and get the ball in his hands early and make something and do something with it. Callaway, you can send Callaway 40, 60 yards down the field if you want. He could track the ball and he could bring it in. He could score. And he's got downfield speed. You could also run him on tons of bubble screens or slants or whatever, and he's explosive in that area. So I just think that Callaway is a – oh, boy, I'm gonna get crap for this when the combine comes around if it's the other way. But I think Callaway is a superior athlete to Christian Kirk, or at least he shows up that way on tape.
I think that's fair. I thought you were going to, like, compare him to, like, Antonio Brown or something.
Oh, God, no. yeah, all Antonios are the same. Okay, so, yeah, that's – that's kind of my thoughts on Callaway. I really don't think the off-the-field stuff's going to hurt him that much as long as he is fine up until
right.
the combine or the draft. I really don't. And he has Florida's entire offense. And his stats do not look good, but he has been literally the only shining hope on that offense for the last 2 years with a
– What about Scarlett?
Had an awful quarterback. Well, Scarlett's been good, but yeah. Scarlett – even last year, they had Scarlett in like a running back rotation. And it was painfully obvious that Scarlett was the best running back on the team, but they kept trying to play, you know, like Mark Thompson – LaMichael P. Ryan, Jordan Crocker, like whatever, like all of these guys. And it's like, just give Scarlett the carries.
Right.
And this year, I hope that they do. But that's why I say that Antonio Callaway was the whole offense. So he's my number three wide receiver. I think he's a pretty complete athlete. And I don't think the off-the-field stuff's going to hurt him that much.
Yeah, I like Callaway a lot too. I just he scares me a little bit right now. Not sure I want a cape for him yet at this point. But Cameron Sutton. No, that's not right. Cortland. I'm thinking Steelers guy still. Cameron Sutton's a really good corner, but he has absolutely nothing to do with the 2018.
They're not related, are they?
I don't think they are, actually, but the thought just crossed my mind when I mixed up their names. But Cortland Sutton is my number two receiver. I was, if you guys listen to the podcast, I was not really very sold on Sutton, but and I'm still not to a degree. He's been a struggle for me because I think he doesn't consistently play like a big receiver. There are flashes of it that are on highlight reels, but then if you look at a lot of other opportunities, he lets some go by. I don't think he's always the best at competing for the football, but you know, like I said, the flashes are clearly there. I think that he was more explosive and he was faster this time around watching his film than when I just peeked at it early in the year. So I was a little bit more excited about his potential, but I think his releases are going to need a lot of work. He put a lot of off coverage when corners did step to him physically, thought he struggled to kind of get off them. So I need to see him play big more consistently, even as a blocker. Like, you know, don't let up on guys. You know, be a physical, be the aggressor, be physical. I want to see that more and more from Sutton this season. But I do think athletically and size-wise, he has the probably the best – projection to a number one wide receiver role out of this class. You know, if you just were going to take a guy and say what he could be, I think that Sutton could be that type of a player. So just based on that, to be honest, and the production that he's put up so far and what he's put out there on tape, you know, he grabs his number two spot, but I still think he needs a good bit of work. And I'm not in the, you know, I'm not in the top 20 lock type of, you know, conversation with him at this point. So we'll see what happens with him. We'll see how he progresses. I know I've been kind of a downer about the quarterback class, but I kind of feel like with Sutton, how I feel about Sam Darnold. I watched him and I was like, you know, he's a good player for sure. Like if he wasn't getting this top 15 hype, I would be, you know, I probably wouldn't sound so negative on him, but you know, it's kind of the same way with the quarterbacks. You watch Darnold and you're like, I don't know if this guy can be my QB1. Like he's still got some stuff to work on. That's pretty important. And then you watch everybody else and you're just like, man, he's probably QB1. And that's kind of how I was with Sutton. It was like, I don't think he can be that high for me compared to like other receiver classes that I've seen. But then I watched the other guys and I was like, I'm just not that high in the receiver class. So then he kind of ended up at number two, but I still think he's a good player for sure. Top 50 type player, but I just want to see increased development with him.
Yeah. I think it's important that, you know, when we do these preseason ranking, like the last year is the most important year, right?
Right.
So saying that, There are people who have no problem looking at the next draft class as a whole, realizing and kind of like forming where people are going and saying, yeah, Darnold's a top five guy. And other people, like for yourself, for example, can hear the word top five. And what you do is you think of other classes of top five people or something. And so, you know, we do these rankings. And I just wanted to say that, you know, the last year is the most important year for these guys for sure. And so, you know, we have all these things that we talk about, but there's a lot of tape that still has to be out there. So my number two guy is Auden Tate from Florida State, which we have – I think we have pretty drastically different wide receiver rankings, huh?
Yeah.
So which is I think for the first time that we've had pretty drastically different rankings. But
yeah, our quarterbacks are decently different, but yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. He is 6'5", 225, 230 pounds of an outside receiver who – really showed some flashes to use his size and his height to his advantage, especially with athleticism. And anytime you can do that, I'm a fan. So, I mean, he only had, 25 catches for 400 yards last year, but six of his 25 catches were for touchdowns. And so I'm sitting here near at the end of the year when Francois is dealing the way that he is, and I'm like, why isn't this guy getting the ball more? And I hope that was the question in the offseason where Jimbo Fisher goes, hey, we got this Auden Tate guy. We should probably use him. I'd love to see him get featured right away in the Alabama game. He's going to be their outside guy, their mismatch guy, especially against some smaller Alabama corners. And I hope they really take advantage, because the sample size for Tate and for him being my wide receiver too, I'm taking a big risk here. I'm taking a big risk on the flashes, not the resume, because the resume is incredibly small. It is short for Tate. But from the things that I have seen, and two, I will admit that I'm pairing this with the fact that I like Francois a lot. And so I think that the potential for the combination that those two could have, I could see Tate progressing enough in just 1 year to be a great wide receiver. So have to see a lot more from him consistency-wise. We got to see some of those stats really come to life for an entire year, an entire 10, 11, 12 games, whatever it is for Florida State. But I love his height. I love his fight for the ball in the air and the potential that he has. And so he is my wide receiver too.
Yeah, you like Tate a lot more than I do. When I watched this tape, I saw a guy that was still very much learning the nuances of the game, the ins and outs of the game.
I think so too.
Yeah. He didn't seem like he really understood like where his routes should break and consistently kind of developing that kind of stuff. I mean, there are flashes that are awesome, and then there are a lot of inconsistencies too at the catch point. And so, you know, it's like looking for something to hang your hat on. He could take a huge leap this year. You know, if development is linear for him, he's going to take a huge leap this year, and then we could be having a totally different conversation. But if it's not, you know, then, you know, I just don't know what to expect, because it would take a big jump for me to have him probably that high. But I do think he is talented, for sure. I think he's a guy. I mean, there are some hang time catches for him that were like, whoa. My number one guy is Calvin Ridley. and I know you said you'd have him number one if you were bigger, and I would feel better about him number one if he were bigger, but I think
sure.
Nuanced route runner, speed to get deep, your route running ability and separation ability to win the short to intermediate areas of the field, does explosive things after the catch with the football, makes some grabs outside his frame. I don't think he's the greatest contested catch receiver, but he is good at adjusting outside his frame, and I think that projects pretty well for him, even if he'll lose some physical battles. You know, like I've said about the whole class, I don't know that Ridley's like first round lock type of guy for me. He is 23 years old, but I agree with Trevor. You can shut up if you think that's a problem. But overall, I like Ridley's game a whole heck of a lot. How much are we going to learn about him this season? No idea. We'll see if Jalen Hurts improves. Last year was really rough for Ridley. The year before, you could see his talents more on display. But he stood out, even though none of the quarterbacks at Alabama have been very great. So, you know, to me, that says a lot. And I've really liked his game for years now, and I'm just excited to see him, you know, as an NFL prospect, because if he can test really well, I do think there's enough length maybe to add a little, maybe to get to around 200 pounds with him. I think he could still be a number one wideout. You know, I don't, even the term number one wideout is a little bit fluid, but I still think he has a lot of really positive traits to win at all three levels of the field that I could get excited about. So to me, he and Cortland Sutton are probably the best in this class, but I really do like Pettis and Kane too. So we'll see how those guys sort themselves out by the end of the year. And then I think Kirk and Callaway are talented as well. If they can, you know, get on the field more and do a little bit more, you know, Callaway, can the off the field stuff, can you stay out of trouble in that way? And Kirk, can you, how does his game progress? Like, how do they use him differently this year? Is he still going to be like a 5 yard and in wide receiver guy? Because he's got to show a little more on tape, and it's not all his fault. But that's kind of where I'm at with the receiver class right now. But yeah, Ridley's my top guy right now.
Sutton is my top guy. I just think that's that there's
you like him more than Corey Davis.
I don't. No,
I don't either.
No. He's Corey Davis. No. But
how about Mike W?
What?
How about Mike Williams?
I would take Mike Williams over Cortland Sutton.
Same.
Okay. Right. Just so checking.
Sorry.
But I think he is. I think he's a lot more Mike Williams than he is Corey Davis.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
I just see, you know, when I watched Sutton the first time, I watched him last year when he could have possibly come out. He did a lot of sideline work, and that's why I think he reminds me a lot of Williams, is because he does a lot of his work on the sideline. And he is strong and big, and you know, if you have the size and you can dominate on the sideline, that's great. And both of those guys did it pretty well. But I noticed I didn't really see a lot of variety from him. I watched a couple more games, and I saw a little bit. They started playing him inside. He started doing a little bit different routes, and I was like, okay. So my thing with Sutton is that he is my wide receiver one because I think that he does the very difficult things that wide receivers sometimes have to do in the NFL, and he does them at a pretty natural level. And so if he had a better route tree – if I saw him do these things a little bit more, these different kinds of routes, and I was able to have confidence in him as a complete receiver and not just a sideline receiver, a guy that you could really throw anywhere, he has the size, he has the mentality, he has the strength to be that top wide receiver in this class. And I think it's a good year for him to come out because the only guy who can, I think, go toe-to-toe for him with kind of like a measurable matchup is Tate, and that's if Tate plays well. You know, if not, then you're looking at a big body number one possible wide receiver. I mean, Sutton's your guy. That's where you're going to look. So that's why I think he's my wide receiver one, is because it's that old, you can't teach height. And if you are a natural wide receiver and even a dominant wide receiver at times at a bigger size, both height and weight, it's just kind of a no-brainer that you have the more potential. You have the ability to do things that others can't. And so if I see more diversity from Courtland Sutton this year in terms of route running and where they position him and where he can win, I'll have a lot more confidence in him. But for now, he is that top guy for me.
Yeah, lots to watch for still in this wide receiver class. Lots of questions, some things still up in the air. It's an interesting class. I don't think there's any clear-cut top dogs or elite guys that are, you know, dominant number one type profiles at this point. But I think that we've still got, like you said, the most important year to go for a lot of these guys. So a lot of evaluation still to be done. You've heard where we're at on quarterbacks, on running backs, on the tight end class, on the wide receiver class so far. Tomorrow we'll take you to the tackle, guard, center class. Well, tomorrow we'll take tackles, next day guard, centers. We'll work through the offensive linemen and move on eventually the defensive positions. And, man, we're going to have college football underway here pretty soon. And the NFL's around the corner and lots to look forward to. As always, though, make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.